We're going to Jeremiah chapter 8, and so you can turn there, and you might ask the question, it has been asked of me, why not Isaiah? And because I was going to be gone a lot this week, I decided to dip into sermons, passages we've considered before. It's been a while, but we have looked at this chapter before, and it's not totally foreign to the themes of Isaiah, in that it still has to do with the destruction of Jerusalem and the people of God going into captivity. Remember, Isaiah prophesied prior to the destruction of Samaria, the northern kingdom. So he began in the mid-720s or so, maybe 730. The destruction of the northern kingdom was 722, so he was prior to that, and then he prophesied for maybe 30, 40 years, something down into the late 600s. Well, Jeremiah was roughly 100 years later. So where Isaiah prophesied of the destruction of Jerusalem and Judah and the captivity, Jeremiah is living in the time when it happens. And he's prophesying about that as well. And in Jeremiah 8, he talks to the Israelites and us about, well, where is their hope? Is there any balm in Gilead? So I want to read tonight from Jeremiah 8, verse 4 through verse 22. And hear the word of the Lord tonight. Say to them, this is what the Lord says. When men fall down, do they not get up? When a man turns away, does he not return? Why then have these people turned away? Why does Jerusalem always turn away? They cling to deceit. They refuse to return. I have listened attentively, but they do not say what is right. No one repents of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Each pursues his own course, like a horse charging into battle. Even the stork in the sky knows her appointed seasons, and the dove, the swift, and the thrush observe the time of their migration. But my people do not know the requirements of the Lord. How can you say, we are wise, for we have the law of the Lord, when actually the lying pen of the scribes has handled it falsely? The wise will be put to shame. They will be dismayed and trapped since they have rejected the word of the Lord. What kind of wisdom do they have? Therefore, I will give their wives to other men and their field to new owners. From the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain. Prophets and priests alike all practice deceit. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. Are they ashamed of their loathsome conduct? No, they have no shame at all. They do not even know how to blush. So they will fall among the fallen. They will be brought down when they are punished, says the Lord. I will take away their harvest, declares the Lord. There will be no grapes on the vine. There will be no figs on the tree, and their leaves will wither. What I have given them will be taken from them. Why are we sitting here? Gather together, let us flee to the fortified cities and perish there. For the Lord our God has doomed us to perish and given us poisoned water to drink because we have sinned against him. We hoped for peace, but no good has come, for a time of healing, but there was only terror. The snorting of the enemy's horses is heard from Dan. At the neighing of their stallions, the whole land trembles. They have come to devour the land and everything in it, the city and all who live there. Behold, I will send venomous snakes among you, vipers that cannot be charmed, and they will bite you, declares the Lord. O, my comforter and sorrow, my heart is faint within me. Listen to the cry of my people from a land far away. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king no longer there? Why have they provoked me to anger with their images, with their worthless foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. Since my people are crushed, I am crushed. I mourn and horror grips me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wound of my people? And God will add his blessing to this reading of his word. He asks the question in verse 22, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? And our a Negro spiritual makes the statement, makes the assertion, the affirmation, there is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. That's the refrain. The verses are kind of interesting. The second verse is, if you cannot preach like Peter, if you cannot pray like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus and say he died for all. There is a balm in Gilead. So are they right? Is there a balm in Gilead? It's a very important question. Is there salvation here for the people of Israel in particular? But I want us to think for a moment before we look at the answer to that question. What's the image of the balm of Gilead mean? Of course, it has really two significances in Scripture. One is that it is indeed a balm or a cream that brings healing. The original name for Ben-Gay, which those of us that have a few years, we use frequently. The original name for Ben-Gay was Ben-Gay Balm. It was a cream that had healing properties. Turn to Genesis 37, verse 25. Here we have the incident of Joseph and his brothers. He had gone down to find them for his father's sake. And they hated him. And so when they saw him, they grabbed him and threw him into a pit. And he's crying out to them. And I always think this text reminds me of the words of Jesus' crucifixion. And sitting down, they watched him there. You know, there this terrible agony is going on, and they're totally indifferent to it. Here his brothers are no doubt hearing Joseph crying out from the pit, and they're indifferent to it. And as they're waiting there, wondering what are they going to do with Joseph, they see this train of Ishmaelites coming down to them. And so Genesis 37, verse 25, as they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. And their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. So here you have literally the balm of Gilead. Gilead was the territory east of the Jordan River, rather mountainous, and apparently the trees and the shrubs that grew there were a good source for this balm. And so it became, it just like Tyler is known as the Rose City, Gilead was known as the place where the balm of Gilead would be found. It's just well known for that. And so this cream is part of this caravan. They market it and they use it. There's other places where the idea of balm is, and if you're still in Genesis 43 verse 11. It's not specifically necessary the balm of Gilead, but it could have been. In the whole interchange, when the brothers have to come back and they have to get Benjamin and take him back to Egypt, and Jacob doesn't want to do it, but he finally consents. In 43 verse 11, it says, then their father Israel said to them, if it must be, then do this. Put some of the best products of the land in your bags and take them down to the man as a gift. A little balm, a little honey, some spices and myrrh, some pistachio nuts and almonds. So we have the balm of Gilead is, on the one hand, literally a cream, a balm that brings healing and health. But it's also used in Jeremiah in particular. But in the prophetic word, it's used as a metaphor for salvation from judgment. So if you come back to Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 46, verse 11. Jeremiah 46, verse 11, he's using this not so much literally, but as a figure of redemption. Jeremiah 46, verse 11, he says, "Go up to Gilead and get balm, O virgin daughter of Egypt. But you multiply remedies in vain. There is no healing for you. The nations will hear of your shame. Your cries will fill the earth. One warrior will stumble over another. Both will fall down together." So here the context is not healing from physical disease. It's being brought to judgment. And so the command is, go get balm to heal you from this judgment, and it's not going to work. There is no healing for you. There's no deliverance from this judgment. One other passage in Jeremiah 51, verse 8, here related to Babylon, the same metaphor. Jeremiah 51, verse 8 says, "Babylon will suddenly fall and be broken. Wail over her. Get balm for her pain. Perhaps she can be healed." And of course, she's going to be judged and she won't be healed. And so the balm of Gilead is in two senses. One is it's an actual cream, but it's also a metaphor for salvation from judgment. So we come back to Jeremiah's question. I'm probably going to do that several times, say Isaiah in place of Jeremiah. But so we come back to Jeremiah's question, Jeremiah 8:22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? What's the answer? Well, the first answer is no. There is no balm in Gilead. There is no salvation from judgment. Not because God is unable, but God's cup of wrath is full and must be poured out. And there will be no escape. Judah will be destroyed, Jerusalem will be destroyed, and the people of Israel carried into captivity. In Jeremiah 9, he continues in verse 1 talking about his weeping. He's asked this question, is there any balm in Gilead? He says, "Oh, that my head were a spring of water and my eyes a fountain of tears. I would weep day and night for the slain of my people." He knows the judgment's coming. He's prophesied it. And if we skip down to verse 7 of chapter 9, "Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty says, behold, I will refine and test them. For what else can I do because of the sin of my people? Their tongue is a deadly arrow. It speaks with deceit. With his mouth, each speaks cordially to his neighbor, but in his heart he sets a trap for him. Should I not punish them for this, declares the Lord? Should I not avenge myself on such a nation as this?" The fact of the matter is, there is no balm in Gilead. That's the first answer to the question. There is going to be no deliverance from judgment. Turn to chapter 15 of Jeremiah, chapter 15, verse 1. And we'll read a part of this. Jeremiah 15, 1. "Then the Lord said to me, even if Moses and Samuel were to stand before me, my heart would not go out to this people. Send them away from my presence. Let them go. And if they ask you, where shall we go? Tell them, this is what the Lord says. Those destined for death to death, those for the sword to the sword, those for starvation to starvation, those for captivity to captivity." I will send four kinds of destroyers against them, declares the Lord, the sword to kill, and the dogs to drag away, and the birds of the air, and the beasts of the earth to devour and to destroy them. I will make them abhorrent to all the kingdoms of the earth because of what Manasseh, son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, did in Jerusalem. You have the statement that there is going to be no deliverance for Judah. And the answer to the question, there is no balm in Gilead. Why? Because they despise the day of repentance. The opportunity for repentance had come to them, and they despised that day. They despised the opportunity of repentance. They think, well, we'll go on and on and on in our sin, and tomorrow I'll repent. Tomorrow I'll ask forgiveness, and tomorrow never comes. It's similar to the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians 6. He says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We must seek forgiveness today because we don't know that we will have tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. Israel kept saying, we're going to sin today and tomorrow we'll repent. And tomorrow never came. There was no deliverance. Even the rebuke of Isaiah, remember in Isaiah chapter 1, he says, your whole head is sick, your whole body wounded. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head is only wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Not cleansed or bandaged. That was the description of their condition. And God had offered forgiveness. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they're the red as crimson, they will be as wool. But the people didn't repent. They despised the way of God's healing. They said, we are wise, when they were fools. They had no shame. They said, we'll dress the wound of my people. We read this in Jeremiah 8. And they cried out, peace, peace, when there is no peace. They despised the day of salvation. They despised the path of repentance. And there is no balm in Gilead, not because there's any lack in the Lord to provide healing or to provide deliverance. It's because they would not follow the path of repentance. Matthew Henry writes, why then was their health not restored? Certainly it was not owing to God, but to themselves. It was not for a lack of balm in a physician, but because they would not admit the application nor submit to the methods of care. The physician and the physic were both ready, but the patient was willful and irregular and would not be tied to rules, but must be humored. Note, if sinners die of their wounds, their blood is upon their own heads. The blood of Christ is balm in Gilead. His spirit is physician there, both sufficient and all sufficient, so that they might have been healed, but they would not. You see, to the question for Judah and Jerusalem, is there a balm in Gilead? The first answer is no. There's not, because you would not repent. You would not turn from your sin. You would not seek the wisdom of God. You would not submit to the remedy that God provided. You continue to go on in your way of sin. But we come back to the question, is there no balm in Gilead? And is there no physician there? And come back to Jeremiah 8:22, and the second answer that's so wonderful is the answer is yes. Yes, there is. And we know that Jeremiah is expecting that answer. How do we know it? Because his second answer in verse 22, after asking, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? He's expecting the answer to be yes. He gets the answer no, but he's expecting it to be yes, because then he asks, well, why then is there no healing for the wound of my people? He knows there's a balm in Gilead. He knows there's a balm, as the song goes. There's a physician there to heal the wounds of his people, to make the sin-sick soul whole. He knows that. He knows that the grace of the Lord is greater than all of our sin. He knows that. And that's why he asked that second question. Well, why then is there no healing? You know, why then is the people not restored? Of course, the answer is, as we've already noted, because they refused to take the medicine that God provided. They refused to respond in repentance and faith in the Lord. They refused to look to Him. But there is a balm in Gilead. There is a salve to make whole the sin-sick soul. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 30. Beginning at verse 12. It begins with our need again. This is what Jeremiah 30, verse 12, this is what the Lord says: your wound is incurable, your injury beyond healing. There is no one to plead your cause, no remedy for your sore, no healing for you. All your allies have forgotten you. They care nothing for you. I have struck you as an enemy would and punished you as would the cruel, because your guilt is so great and your sins so many. Why do you cry out over your wound, your pain that has no cure? Because of your great guilt and many sins, I have done these things to you. But all who devour you will be devoured. All your enemies will go into exile. Those who plunder you will be plundered. All who make spoil of you, I will despoil. But I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord. Because you are called an outcast, dying for whom no one cares. This is what the Lord says: I will restore the fortunes of Jacob's tents and have compassion on his dwellings. The city will be rebuilt on her ruins, and the palace will stand in its proper place. From them will come songs of thanksgiving and the sound of rejoicing, and I will add to their numbers, and they will not be decreased. And I will bring them honor, and they will not be disdained. God says, yes, you had an incurable wound, but I will bring healing. I will restore you. Is there a balm in Gilead? Absolutely. What is the balm in Gilead? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds or stripes we are healed. There it is. There's the balm in Gilead. It's the crucified Christ. He's the one that's going to bear the iniquity and bring healing to the soul. And you and I, as we look at this passage and we anticipate the great glorious day when we will go into glory and our sin-sick souls will be healed and cleansed forever, and every tear will be wiped away from our eyes. There'll be no more crying and no more pain. And in the new heavens and the new earth, it says there's the tree of life, and its leaves are for the healing of the nations. We will be healed, never be sick anymore. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul, to make the weak, the sinner whole. And you and I by looking at this passage and seeing the two messages that come to us from it are both warned to take seriously the fact that sin will be dealt with, and for us to come to the Lord in repentance and accept His remedy that He has provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then at the same time be hopeful, be encouraged that there is healing, there is redemption, there is restoration, there is no sin in your life that is not capable of being cleansed and healed and the restoration to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. You bring them all to the Lord. There is a balm in Gilead. And you are encouraged to receive that for the healing of your soul. And may you and I do that and receive that comfort and peace. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word, and we thank you for its warning and reminder of the severity of our sin and your wrath against that. But we thank you so much that you have provided for redemption through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you for His cleansing blood that heals us from our iniquity and cleanses us from all sin and causes us to become whole in your sight. Father, we thank you for that hope we have, that encouragement. Thank you that there is indeed a balm in Gilead to make us whole. Help us, each one here, to have embraced that and respond to that and receive that healing by your grace and walk in the hope and the strength of that. And we ask, thank you for that, Lord, and ask for that help in Jesus' name. Amen.